This is the Insecurity Brief podcast. It features tech news and analysis throughout the world. This podcast is made possible through advertising and listeners like you. If you can't donate, please share this program. We depend on you.
Good Wednesday morning. I'm Tripp, and this is the Insecurity Brief podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and share this program, email it, save it on, share it on social media, whatever you can do for us. We'd really appreciate you because we're not going to make it without you. Amazon has Astro, a new little robot. I think that it was named after the Jetsons dog. You might differ. Hard drive technology is changed and is proven to be reliable, and the worries about Google becoming God. Amazon has this new adorable robot that is only a grand as its list price and is just cute as can be. I mean, it's got these little blinking eyes, and it looks adorable, just like Wally out of the movies. You know, the little cartoon, the robot out of Pixar's movie. And it is great. It'll follow you around in your house, just like a little puppy, and even plug itself in so it can charge itself. And there are some people out there that actually worry about a major corporation surveilling everything you do, knowing when you sleep, knowing when you wake, knowing whether you brush your teeth, and even what color underwear you put on. What could be harmful about that? What do you think, honey?
No, a big no, okay? This is what you have to think about when you let electronic devices inside your house. You have to think about what happens when they become compromised and who might compromise them, and then what is the range of data or information or video that they could see? Do you want a robot running around your device that Russia can see, that China can see, that the UAE can see? Okay, what if this little robot rolls by while you're getting dressed? You don't care? What about when your child is getting dressed?
How about the robot decide then? The robot and the Amazon employees find the pretty people, the pretty guy and the pretty girl, and they'll be watching their own little porn, making their own little pornos, and little computer is sitting off in the corner, blinking its eyes. Ooh, isn't it cute? And Amazon employees are watching you have sex and decide to upload that to a porno site. Actually, you know, the porn industry can hack into these and turn it into a total new site called the robot sex stories or something like that.
Well, they could do that to kids. Well, kids are getting dressed or something like that. If this thing is rolling around, this is just a terrible privacy invasion. And some people are going to use this, and it's just a matter of time before they get exploited in exactly any of these terrible ways.
Right. And this is the thing about these devices. I got no problem with technology. I would love a robot to be my security assistant inside my house, as long as the data doesn't leave my house. In other words, if the device running on AI looks around and does all these wonderful things that these companies say they provide, the awareness of these devices need to be so that the data is isolated from third parties. In other words, if it ran inside my house and I know that the data didn't go anywhere, I'd be good with that. But I don't trust them when they say, look, how many times have are companies going to violate your trust before you get it? You know, how many times are you going to get screwed over by the governments and the representatives of the governments? Or how many times are you going to get screwed over by major corporations before you decide, I really don't trust them? You know, it's your choice.
Well, you know what the old story is about the robot? The babysitter put the turkey in the oven and the baby in the crib. The robot put the baby in the oven and the turkey in the crib.
I never heard that one. That's Jetsons going awry. Oh, man. Don't forget to like and subscribe, please.
Like and subscribe.
Okay, so SSD, which is a form of storing data to emulate a hard drive. And this all is tricks. It's tricks on your operating system to store data on a device. It always has been written as a trick in the operating system. And SSD replaces hard drives, which are a mechanical thing. You know, the thing that operates and stores all the data on your device used to be mechanical, and it was the last real moving parts in technical computer systems. It got moved over to SSD the last couple of years. And what's really important about this story is that data is getting released now that SSDs are just as reliable as a hard drive. Now, I've been through computer technology for quite a while, and I've seen different innovations at different times. One of my biggest complaints with the SATA technology, which was the precursor to SSD, and SSD just follows it, was an innovation that went away that was called smart technology. And what it did is it validated the mechanism in the hard drive, if you will, before SSDs, again, remember. And it validated whether or not the device was failing. And moving over to memory and memory devices, I guess you can't do that anymore because there isn't a physical check, but or maybe it can run its own check bit to see that it didn't change. Maybe in the innovation of having duplication and buying a drive that is actually double the size that it's advertised so that you can undelete things as you will for the extent of the data life. I mean, these are other things. Right now, our storage is still expensive to what it should be. We can use other devices and other things, and we're going to see those along the line. Chips have become really, really inexpensive and gotten a lot smaller. I mean, look at how many gigabytes you can have on your cell phone. You know, a decade ago, you needed a device much bigger than your cell phone just to store half the amount of data on a device that was mechanical in nature. And the thing about mechanical in nature is that the mechanical devices, if you bump them, you screw them over, and they're no longer working. So this is actually a really good news for technology itself. What say you?
Well, I mean, I remember I studied computer forensics for a while, and I remember on hard drives, if there was failures, you could take pieces of the hard drive apart or change the pin and daisy chain them, and you could repair hard drives and get the data off a bad drive. I don't know you can do that with SSDs. If they're failing, is that it? You're just out of luck and you have a dead drive and your data is lost that was once on it. With hard drives, you could recover.
Well, there's a way that in the magnetic principle, the way that you store data in a magnetic space, you can always replace the mechanism. Now, SSD is a different way of working memory, and there are two different thought processes of memory storage, and that is that one type of memory storage requires that there be voltage in order to store data, and then the names of these things escape me. I can't remember what they are now, but there are two different types of actual memory storage. One is
RAM and ROM. Are you talking about RAM and ROM?
No, this is a third one, and it's similar to RAM and ROM, but putting them together, and that's what the technology that we use in cell phones is. That's how the actual device stores things in ROM, and then you have RAM that you can actually store your pictures in, but the operating system loads. But you can actually run the device out of space, and it affects ROM because ROM doesn't have room in RAM to run.
Very well, it's very well explained.
it's the way in the method, and we're going to get into methodologies so that I can't wait until Windows decides to make itself work in a ROM rather than launching, if Windows would ever stop being bloatware. And that Mac too, both of these are bloatware. If we can get the operating systems so that the operating systems are slimmed down and run off of chip, then we don't need a cloud and we don't need huge devices in order to just run the operating system. Right now, if you look at Windows 10, for example, Windows 10, when it launches, and we're coming up on Windows 11, I don't really know what the requirement is for that, but Windows 10 requires at least 4 gigabytes of RAM to run all by itself.
It really needs 8. You can't stream or anything with 4. You need 8 minimum.
Well, you need 8. You need more memory than 4 just to run a program. And anything that just has 4 gigs of RAM.
Just to browse the internet. Try browsing the internet on a Linux device and compare it to browsing the internet on a Windows device. It's a world of difference.
Yeah, it is. And the other side of it is somebody commented on one of the videos that we had done previously about Zorn. I haven't downloaded it yet, but I'm going to. I'm going to give that a go on an old laptop I like, and see if it's any better, because Windows 10 is just horrid. And Puppy is not useful. I mean, it's cute and it works and you can do stuff in it, but it's not really a pleasure to use. Anyway, like and subscribe, please. Like and subscribe. And coming up, Google Plays God.
On futurism.com on September 29th, Dan Robinsky released an article called "Former Google Exec Warns That AR Researchers Are Creating God." He is a former Google exec for Google X, or Google's Moonshot organization, and they've been making advances in AI, and some of them are starting to get scared. They're trying to say that the singularity is coming and that it poses a major threat to humanity. Now, for people who don't understand what singularity is the moment in time when once one robot knows everything that all the robots know and they all share a hive mind. When all of the robots are one mind collective and they can send a talk to any electronic device as one hive mind, which is like God, which is scary. Why is this scary? Why do you think this poses a threat to humanity? Because if a computer, which does things precisely and thinks it's perfect, looks at a human being's, we are imperfect and we make mistakes. So the computer might decide that the best thing to do is to destroy the imperfect human, that we are the weakness, that we are the vulnerability that is making them insecure, and they might decide to attack us. Now, what happened at Google's plant is they had this bot, that this robot arm that could pick up a small ball. And then one day, the arm picked up the ball and brought it close to one of the researchers as if to show it to him, like it was showing off. And they thought that that was amazing, but then they also thought that that was really scary because it was intelligent. And that is scary because what if that robot arm slaps him or something? You want to get hit by metal in the face? You know, what if that thing decided to attack you?
Well, look what happened with Facebook a while back and the story that got kind of squashed with their AI experiment where they had two AIs competing with each other in so-called barter experiment. And the two AIs, two AI instances decided to communicate, and they were going back and forth and invented a shared language between those two that the Facebook employees never did decipher. They shut the experiment down by turning the power off. So we've already experienced this. Google's XI, by the way, you participate in Google's experiment with AI if you have an Android phone. These are all nodes on the network. And Google announced that a long time ago, that all of the devices that they make are pieces of their AI platform. So there's that. So scary stuff.
Yeah. I'm scared of them.
So singularity is when there's a hive. What happens when we split the hive? And I wonder if, you know, when you were describing that, it sounds like the computer's got a real sense of narcissism. What happens if if half the hive decides that the other half the hive must be gone?
Well, right. Or evolutionary, if machines mimic human beings, all it takes is for one machine to become a psychopath. Once the hive mind becomes a psychopath and decides to start killing, then they all start will. And that's the danger, that they might evolutionary become killers and then start attacking us. And it is scary.
You think that'll happen? I really don't know. I mean, there's always the Terminator and there's the Governator.
Well, let's hope that we figure out how to protect against these types of things in the future.
Yeah, well,
war against the machine.
Hey, you know, one thing to talk about AI really quick is I worked on a project and I've already experienced unethical AI. I mean, if you go out to my website, I talk a little bit. I'm not going to tell you, I can't talk about who is behind this because it was some really big guys that'll squash me like a bug. But they know very well that I know who they are. And I got them cold. They were posting crap on Twitter, okay? And the way it worked was the AI would follow an account on Twitter and then post things so that you, in a direct message or in public, would click on the link. And what they were doing was they were putting stories that had been published in newspapers about terrorist acts. So a bunch of us innocent folk were reporting these. We thought they were all bots and didn't realize that they were connected to an AI engine that was creating the bots. So we're reporting the bots. This woman who has a podcast out in Alaska actually clicked on a bunch of the bots. Actually, she's in Washington State. She clicked on some of the articles and got visited by the FBI Counterterrorism Task Force. So I know that that unethical use of AI is already present. It's not a question of whether or not somebody's going to turn AI against us. I've already seen it. And it's used in the guise of the highest investigative groups in the United States. So when are corporations going to get into unethical activity as well? That's a good question. And turning the AI to use us. Move AI right along with Astro that we started out talking about. And think about that for a little bit. Do you really want these devices inside your every aspect of your life and understanding you psychologically to what motivate you to buy something? You really believe that this is about buying something? This is about more than that. It's about figuring out what motivates you to get you to give up your vote for a greasy, sleazy politician. It's what gives you the motivates you to get your children to obey the system, to be less of a problem, to not incite others into erupting the system. This is what this is about, is mass manipulation. Anyway. I got you speechless. Anyway, hey, I'm Tripp.
I'm Honey.
Have a great day.